You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, this is Iris. Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast. We wish the Pistons good luck tonight against the Washington Wizards. Happy New Year, everybody.
A little help from my lovely assistant, the niece Iris, and what is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, my episode for Wednesday, December 26th, our episode, I should say, as I've got a little bit of the holiday cold here, as many of you probably do too. But we're on to Washington. We're moving on. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan, follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. I figured I would maybe brighten up the mood a little bit as we have not so many good things to talk about these days with the Detroit Pistons. But today we got a quick recap of Friday night against Charlotte and Sunday afternoon against the Atlanta Hawks. I promise it'll be quick and painless. But more importantly, we'll be looking ahead, moving on to tonight's game against the Washington Wizards, as Iris alluded to. Time to move on if for the Pistons and their fans. No sense dwelling on the pre-holiday schedule. But we are going to talk about the holiday schedule itself. Look ahead to the next week or so. The holiday parties will be kicking up for you guys again soon. You need to know what Pistons games will be on the background in your house and what days they'll be on as well. It never stops in the NBA. Hopefully you caught a little bit of some of the games last night. Impressive performance from the LA Lakers, even losing LeBron James against Golden State in the third quarter, still able to pull off a big victory there. But as for the podcast schedule, we'll get one tomorrow. I'm not sure if it'll be first thing in the morning like usual or not. I am going to the game tonight as a fan. So I guess anytime the Washington Wizards are in town, I go as a fan. Apparently the only game I've been to was a preseason game against Washington this year. And of course, I've been going for work capacities many times, but check me out on Twitter, Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons -Matt Shook. And as I mentioned on Twitter the other day, I barely saw any of these games, these last couple ones. Friday night was out to dinner, kept an eye on the score, and saw if I needed to get to a TV for the fourth quarter, but never really felt the need to do that. And then Sunday, I was at the Lions game, speaking of great Detroit sports there. Actually did get back to my apartment downtown to see the final 3 minutes, but that was a disaster, as you know. So not a good weekend, and didn't really feel the need to go back and watch those ones on replays. So the Pistons fell on Friday night to the Charlotte Hornets for the third time this season, the fifth time in a row that the Pistons have lost one of those red-letter games, if you add last season's debacles against the Hornets. We've all gotten really frustrated with the whole Charlotte thing. We'll talk about that as the fourth game comes up later this year. But 98-86 was the final score on Friday in the Queen City. 23 points for Blake Griffin, 17-16 for Andre Drummond. That's about all the good. Reggie Bullock, although made three three-pointers, so I guess that's a good thing as well. But not too much good to report from the box score, including 24 points for Marvin Williams. He was 7 of 11 from three-point land. I can't imagine what that was like to watch. Probably a frustrating night to watch for a lot of you guys who did. Marvin Williams just raining three-pointers on you. 22 for Kemba Walker, which is something you would expect at this point with a good point guard against the Pistons. But Malik Monk didn't even play. Pistons couldn't capitalize on that. And then even worse, the Pistons fall on Sunday afternoon at home to the Atlanta Hawks. 98-85 was the score there. 15-7 rebounds for Blake Griffin, but he missed the two free throws with 23 seconds left. 18 points off the bench for Langston Galloway, who I think had 16 or 17 all in the fourth quarter. He was the reason that they got back into the game after falling behind 17 points at one point. But he goes in and misses the layup with the Pistons down three with about 5 seconds left to kind of seal the loss. Too late, certainly, to be going for a two-pointer at that point. Especially when you miss the layup there. So some poor late-game execution, including, as you would expect, Reggie Jackson missed a wide-open three-pointer with a minute and a half to go, and also missed a drive late, too. So just, you know, bad all around for the Pistons late in games, as we've come to expect from this team at this point. But the Hawks, actually their third straight win, so always an inexcusable loss to lose to the Hawks, definitely at home, too. But apparently they're playing pretty okay right now, but whatever. Anyway, Luke Kennard sat out the second half with ice on his knees, but that didn't really impact the game because he's been really bad lately anyways, other than the one good game against Philly. that they lost. So the usual, a little bit of a turd sandwich for the fans to go into the holidays with, making sure that any kind of discussion that myself and you guys had with your family and friends about the team for the holidays was usually all done while shaking your head. So good stuff there. Vince Carter, who I made fun of for still playing the last time they played the Hawks, he dropped 18 points in a throwback game. So embarrassing on all fronts for the Pistons on Sunday, as I can imagine what that was like at Little Caesars Arena for those fans. The Pistons fall to 15-16 on the season, somehow still with the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference and one game inside the playoff hunt right now, thanks to that Eastern Conference. But, I mean, they were, even when things were been going so poorly here in December, Pistons were still up at six for most of the month in the Eastern Conference standings. But when you lose to Atlanta, that's the kind of giant swing that you have with a home game loss to the Hawks there. But up next, we're going to talk about, moving on, going to talk about tonight's game against the Washington Wizards. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than your traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. If you are interested, go ahead and email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
All right, a little bit later on, we'll be talking about the upcoming schedule, the stretch of games throughout the rest of the holidays here. But tonight, as mentioned, the Pistons will play host to the Washington Wizards at the Little Caesars Arena at 7 o'clock. I'll be there. The lowly Wizards right now, who are 11th in the Eastern Conference, well out of the playoffs right now, 13-21, back to playing poorly after a stretch of pretty good ball following the disastrous start they had in Washington. The Wizards have now won just three of their last 10 games. For perspective, the Pistons are at two of their last 10. So two of the NBA's worst teams lately should be a good one in downtown Detroit with the holiday crowd. More specifically, the Wizards have lost three out of their last four and seven of their last nine. So good times in Washington for the fans and Coach Scotty Brooks there as well. The team, as you know, recently traded away Austin Rivers and Kelly Oubre in what was first a three-way deal with Memphis, but ended up trading those guys with Phoenix instead. Austin Rivers and Kelly Oubre are now gone out of Washington, but there in Washington now is starting small forward, the veteran Trevor Ariza, who signed a one-year deal with Phoenix in the offseason. So Washington, you know, still keeping their salary cap flexibility going forward and adding what they thought was a stabilizing piece, a former Washington Wizards player, back in the fold with Ernie Grunfeld and those guys. Ariza has started all four games for Washington since he arrived in the deal. He's averaging 13.5 points per game and six rebounds and four assists. So doing pretty well on the stat sheet, but not leading to victories as of yet. He is starting on the front court alongside Jeff Green and Thomas Bryant. So you get Bradley Beal and John Wall, of course, in the backcourt there. But that's a front court that the Pistons should exploit if there ever was one, when you're thinking about Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond's nights coming up tonight, especially if you're looking at your daily fantasy drafts coming up or salary cap selections. But Dwight Howard and Otto Porter are both out for the Wizards. That helps the case for the Pistons. Also, John Wall didn't play a couple of games ago. He sat one game out, and then he only played 26 minutes in a blowout loss against Indiana. I think they just sat the starters after a little while after seeing what was going on there. So Wall and Beal didn't get a lot of minutes there, but each of them scored 7 points. So coming off of a bad game before Christmas. A team looking for a reset after the holidays too, just like the Pistons are after the way that they ended the most of December so far. And we know that that Wall and Beal and Otto Porter are certainly available in trade discussions, although maybe Ernie Grunfeld, he thinks that he got the cleaning of the house that he needed already by dispatching Rivers and Oubre for Ariza. So that was a bad move, by the way. That was two decent trade pieces that were given up for one that, a guy who's not going to help your team a lot this year. And we'll see. Maybe the Wizards they certainly have the talent to turn it around, have a good second half, and sneak over the Pistons in the Eastern Conference, especially with the way that the Pistons have been looking so far. I didn't like the move for Washington. I thought the move that they kind of need to make if they want to rebuild what they're doing here is maybe trading Beal for a whole bunch of pieces and then figuring out a way to get out of John Wall's contract unless it's impossible. We know that certainly Washington does want to move on from that contract, but going to be tough, and the Pistons are one of the only teams that might even consider absorbing it going forward. The Pistons are 5-point favorites in this one. I don't know You tell me. Again, Otto Porter's out. But Vegas knows something, maybe. I don't know about that. I might hammer the Wizards tonight on the bets and see if you can win some dough off of that. But with the Charlotte loss, the Pistons are now 2-5 in red-letter games. And that's being a little bit generous to them because I have Brooklyn and Orlando still as red-letter teams. Red-letter games are more important than your regular ones because they're teams you're competing with some for some of those final spots of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. Right now I've got Indiana, even though I should take them off. But that's kind of my usual slight towards the Pacers. But I've got Indiana and Washington and Miami and Charlotte and Brooklyn and Orlando on the list right now. But the Pistons are 2-5 in those red-letter games, a win against Brooklyn, a win against Orlando, and then a loss to Brooklyn, a loss to Miami, and then the three sore thumb losses of the Charlotte Hornets. But like again, if you take off Brooklyn and Orlando, then the Pistons are 0-4 in red-letter games. Miami and three against Charlotte, two of them coming at home out of those four. Again, these games matter, and if the Pistons miss the playoffs, we will point to them at the end of the season. Amazingly, missing the playoffs looks like a possibility once again. So very sad for us Pistons fans here in Michigan. We've talked about John Wall quite a bit on this show in trade discussions. Feels like Washington gave up for Trevor Ariza was too much for the Pistons to get involved in that one with Phoenix. So that's certainly fine with me that the Pistons didn't go that route looking for a veteran small forward and a team that could use a veteran small forward if we're looking at, you know, shoring up this current roster for a possible push at the playoffs, which I know isn't the ultimate goal. And some fans out there don't even want to consider the possibility that that should be what the front office should be thinking about right now. But as we're watching tonight, as you're watching John Wall versus Reggie Jackson, remind yourself of me being a proponent of the trade involving those two as the principal figures. And I know the thinking is of Wall's contract and also his misfit here on the Pistons roster, and also of maybe the fact that he's kind of blown up a decent situation in there partially with his attitude and concerns about, you know, what kind of leader of a franchise he is right now. And certainly the people who are against that trade would think that you might be better off to wait until Reggie Jackson's contract expires after next season, instead of taking on, you know, the $40 million a year over the next four that John Wall's contract would entail. But as a guy, I'll tell you this, as a guy who's doing a daily podcast on the Detroit Pistons, presumably all the way through the end of next season, that seems like a really long time to wait for Reggie Jackson's contract to expire. We'll remind you that Wall scored 40 points on 10 days ago against the LA Lakers, and we saw what they did last night against Golden State. His 30% shooting from three-point land is down for Wall this year compared to his whole career. Not that he's ever very good at it, but, you know, 30% is especially low for him. I would expect that to tick up as the season continues, the second half of the year goes on right now. But he's getting 20 points a game, close to 9 assists, an all-NBA defensive type of guy, which would be something different than what the Pistons have in the backcourt right now. By the way, as we're thinking about Wall getting just short of 9 assists per game, the Pistons' leader in assists right now, our point forward, our guy who's the hub of the offense, Blake Griffin, at 5.1 assists. And look, to be clear, I think that there are better deals and better prospects out there for the Pistons to be looking at in these next few weeks. We're in trade season, so I'm getting a little bit anxious, a little bit irritated, I would say, with the lack of movement from the front office. I'm sure they've been in trade talks with, you know, the Markelle Fultzes of the world, although it sounds like he'll be back with Philly and everything's going hunky-dory there in the city of brotherly love. But, you know, the Pistons might be looking at a point guard, maybe in trade talks this year or certainly down the road or the draft or whatever. Someone who excels off the ball, if Blake Griffin's going to be the hub of your offense, someone who can knock down threes off the standstill and at a more affordable rate than certainly of John Wall's ridiculously large contract. But if you're asking me in a vacuum if the Pistons should trade for Wall and give up Reggie Jackson and have Detroit get another sweetener or two in the deal to take on all that money, if you ask me that question in a vacuum, I would say yes, and I still say yes. Certainly something interesting about this team to talk about if they were to acquire another All-Star, as opposed to the kinds of conversations that you and I had about this team over the past few days during the holidays, if those conversations even existed, that is. There, I know a lot of you, you would talk about politics or something else unsavory before you'd bring up the Detroit Pistons with some of your friends and family members over the holidays. But at least you can bring up those Lions and talk about how well, things are going there. I know it's a rough time for Detroit sports fans. We all came off all those discussions. Our team's just kind of, even the Red Wings, if you're a short stretch of good play, are down again right now. Just bad times for the Detroit sports fans of the world, and we are those. So we'll move on. But anyway, the Locked On Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. Be sure to check us out there. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net, and you get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering their NFL or NBA team on one feed. It's amazing during games, breaking down news, and to get the local perspective. On Instagram, check out Locked On NBA Net, giving you the biggest stories in just 1 minute on your Instagram stories, on your main feed, but also longer cuts on the feeds as well. So make sure you follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. But up next, we're going to talk about the rest of the holiday schedule for the Pistons and what we also have to look forward to the rest of the week here with this NBA basketball team. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And no matter what kind of grief the Detroit Lions are giving us on a weekly basis, just one game left Sunday in Green Bay. Draft positioning is all that's at stake for the Detroit Lions there. And you know that Matt Derry of Detroit, formerly of Detroit Radio, he's got your daily look at the Lions. Talking draft now, talking the future of the franchise, I'm sure, with Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia and Matthew Stafford. Would imagine certainly that all three of those guys will be back next year, but probably on thin ice in 2019 as far as all three of those guys and their lofty current positions with the team. But check out the Locked On Lions podcast as part of the network. Also, Isaiah Hull of Locked On Wolverines and Will Hunter of Locked On Spartans. Those guys are talking bowl games and actually some happy times. If you want to be uplifted about some sports in Michigan, listen to those guys talk about their fellow basketball teams. The two of the best teams really in the country, certainly two of the best teams in the Big Ten. As well, I was in the house to check out Michigan Air Force the other day. I'll be back to Ann Arbor to see the Wolverines take on Binghamton next Sunday as well while the Pistons play a game out in Florida. But anyway, the Pistons back to Dreary Land, I guess. The Pistons will be back after tonight at Indiana on Friday night. And by the way, that is not a red letter game. That's me just poking a little fun at the Indiana Pacers. We've taken them off the list officially. There is no way the Pistons are in that class. Or Indiana's 10 games over 500 right now. So we can forget about that. But after going to Indiana to play the Central Division rivals for the first time this season, the Pistons will be in Orlando, as I mentioned, on Sunday afternoon for a 3:30 p.m. matinee with the Magic there to close the 2018 portion of the season. So Pistons got to find a way to go 2-1 over these next three games to end the season, end to the calendar year at 500, which is a modest goal, but certainly one that the Pistons will be shooting for and shooting up for over these next three games. That one sadly actually is against Orlando. That is a red letter game because the Magic are a team that currently is in the Pistons class right now, which is another sad thought to think about. But Pistons will start 2019 at Milwaukee on New Year's night. So not New Year's Eve, but New Year's Day evening. So New Year's night, I guess to call it. 8 p.m. game there in Milwaukee. And then at Memphis for the second of a back-to-back on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock there as well. So a tough trip ahead. The Pistons will be back at home on Saturday night after a couple days off at home against Utah on Saturday night at Little Caesars Arena. So we'll have another podcast tomorrow. We'll get into these games, particularly Indiana and Orlando, a little bit before the weekend. We'll break those down some. But a four-game road stretch coming up here after the Pistons play tonight against Washington, where they will be favored in just one, I would imagine. That's that Orlando game with a team looking for revenge that lost to the Pistons at home earlier this season and a tough one for them. So, again, a game that you could certainly see the Pistons losing, and that's the one game of the four-game stretch that they're going to be favored in. The next winnable game is Memphis on the second half of a back-to-back, so that becomes a lot less winnable when you look at it through that lens. So if you want to be optimistic, this is like a 2-2 road trip at best if you can figure out a way to beat Orlando and then maybe get either Indiana, Milwaukee, or Memphis in an upset there. So again, making it even more crucial to go out and win tonight's red-letter home game against a struggling Washington Wizards team that's been hurt by injuries as well. And the Pistons, if they do get the win tonight, you can go into that tough four-game roadie at 16-6 at 500. Again, so sad to have these kind of modest and sad goals going forward, but that's where we're at with this purgatory of a franchise. And I'm sorry to bring you down a little bit, but hey, You're the ones who downloaded a Pistons podcast today. So, but what's your resolution for this team? Can we perk up a little bit? Can we think about some positive things? Or if not directly positive right away, what should this team be thinking about it? I mean, I know that there's many of you out there who are on team rebuild, team tank, team trade, everybody. That's always going to be the case with a team that's not competing for a championship. And I understand certainly where that sentiment would come from. Maybe there's a way you can upgrade this roster a little bit this year without sacrificing any of the future or much of the future. And really something that we're going to be talking about quite a bit as we lead up to the trade deadline is the Stanley Johnson, Reggie Bullock conundrum, where you have two guys that are certainly useful NBA players. Reggie Bullock's case even more than just a useful NBA player, with big decisions to make. Unrestricted free agency for Reggie Bullock, restricted free agencies for Stanley Johnson. So certainly if you wanted to make the plan to keep Stanley Johnson long term, you could do that, being that you have some rights to his availability. If a team sends him an offer sheet, you can match that. But if you look at the cap, probably not a way to get both of those guys back. So when you're thinking about it, if you're the Pistons, if you know you're going to lose one of them, maybe you make the decision sooner rather than later on which one that you will choose to pursue and give up the other one in a trade, especially if there's guys who might be able to help you out this year a little bit more. So certainly giving up a piece that you're going to lose anyway, maybe upgrading your roster with keeping the flat cap flexibility, not taking off on a horrible deal long term, but maybe another 1 year expiring or something like that. Thinking specifically of Stanley Johnson in that realm, that a guy who's not ready to really consistently help you out on a day-to-day basis, but maybe another team could covet his possibility, especially his status as a restricted free agent too, if they're thinking about him long term. And maybe the Pistons could make that kind of deal. So that's kind of something we'll be breaking down in the future. And Reggie Bullock, another interesting piece, and we know we like when Reggie Bullock's knocking down his threes like he has lately, but a valuable piece, an expiring deal, someone who could fetch a lot in the trade market, and maybe even a first-round pick. You could maybe get a low first-round pick for Reggie Bullock, or throw the two of them together and sweeten yourself up for a mid-first-round pick or something like that. But something to think about if you're the Pistons and you're seeing how this team is slipping and sliding once again in December, just like we did last year. It's just tough to think about. But if you got any ideas, resolutions for this team for New Year's, especially looking ahead to 2019, 810-666-1546 is the Google Voice line for the show. We'll play the voicemails for you over these next few episodes. 810-666-1546. We prefer the voicemails, but you can also text that number and let me know your resolutions for this team at 810-666-1546. So let us know about that and give us a follow on Twitter, Matt_Schuch, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Schuch. We appreciate you guys and all the social media support. Give us a rating and review on iTunes as well, so it's easier for other Pistons fans to find the show. This is your host, Matt Schuch. I'll have a report straight live from Little Caesars Arena. Well, we won't do the show live, but I'll be it live at Little Caesars Arena. We'll have it up for you sometime on Thursday. And look forward to that, and look forward to seeing what this team looks like in person. Maybe they can change the spirits and the tone of the Locked On Pistons podcast a little bit as the end of 2008 approaches for all of us. Happy holidays to all you guys once again. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.